Well, I do have quite an interesting word this morning to equip. I believe it's to equip you to live in the abundant life that Jesus promised to give. And I believe, and I'm sure most of you here, if you have studied Scripture and have been around as part of the church, that you actually believe that the abundant life isn't just spiritual, but the abundant life that Jesus died to give us is supposed to affect every part of our lives. Whether it's your emotions, your provision, whether it's your mind, that I believe actually we are to live, and it's Jesus' intention that we all live in his abundance. And one of the scriptures that I was looking at this week that really hit me is that not only are we to live in abundance, but in John's Gospel, chapter 15, we read this scripture. Let's look at that together. John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. You bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And I realized in a fresh way that Jesus is looking for people to see the abundant life in us in such a way that we're showing ourselves to be disciples of Jesus. Everybody looking at you and me, the church of Jesus Christ, saying, wow, I love what they're on. It looks so good. It looks so amazing. It's so different to what I'm on. Because drugs don't work, alcohol doesn't work, it all runs out, all destroys life. But Jesus has come to give abundant life and the God kind of life that is so powerful and so different. It's something he wants us to enjoy as disciples personally and to show as fruit. Showing yourselves. So in other words, the fruit of our lives as followers of Jesus Christ is to be people looking at us saying, I don't know what you're on, but it looks good. And I want it. I want what you've got. Because I don't believe that there is anything about Jesus that is not attractive. Okay, sometimes it's a bit challenging because he's God and he tends to speak his mind. Don't know if you've noticed. But his love, everything he says, his motive is because he wants people to live in his best. But he wants proof that he lives in us. He wants there to be proof, signs, fruit. And we're going to look at a scripture in Jeremiah next. Jeremiah chapter 17. You're probably waiting for it to come up on the screen. It's always good actually to look at the screen, but also know your way around the Bible. Don't always rely on people to find it for you. That's okay if you didn't bring one, but I believe we need to be people who know our Bibles. And it starts off as quite a daunting thing. That's when you use the index to find the reference. That's why it's there. But then afterwards, it's like you learn. You learn where Jeremiah is in context with everything else. Jeremiah chapter 17. And I would describe abundant life as this, verse 7, Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree. And it's going to look better in a minute. You haven't been called a tree before, but you will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. that amazing? It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It has no worries in a year of drought. So when things in your circumstances have dried up, not bothered, bothered me. No, not bothered. No worries. Why? Because my source isn't in this world or in myself. My source is in the Lord. My roots, what you can't see, my trust in Jesus is in me, in my heart. And when my heart trusts him, I'm going to be living in the abundance that Jesus spoke about. And so if you think about this picture of a tree, this apple tree is laden with fruit. That's what this is speaking of. Abundant life, like a tree, you're a person who's looking like a tree. Your roots are in Jesus because you're trusting him. What are the byproducts of a strong, healthy tree whose roots are receiving all that it needs for nourishment? Well, you're strong. You'll be a stable Christian emotionally. Won't get too mosh. You'll be strong and stable. You'll be secure. You won't have all the insecurity complexities you used to have. You'll be happy. Happy. That's the abundant life. The proof. The fruit. You'll flourish. You see, if your leaves are always green, it's like you're an evergreen rather than deciduous. Your leaves won't drop off you when it gets a bit cold because you'll always be green. You'll flourish and be fruitful like this tree. Now we can go back a few verses in Jeremiah, and verse 5 says, cursed is the one who trusts in man or in themselves, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Isn't it easy to just slightly turn away from the Lord and get so worried because you're not actually trusting him? As soon as you're worried, you're not trusting Jesus. It's so easy to do this. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. So even if good stuff's flying around everywhere else, it's like a whole orchard full of apple trees, full of fruit, but there's one in the same place, but actually looking miserably barren, withered, dry, without any fruit, in the salt land where no one lives. So in other words, it'll be like this tree. The next tree, please. The barren one, you know, the one that doesn't look quite so nice. Okay, the light is quite bright in here, but you get the picture, do you? Can you see that? So there is an orchard of trees all the way around. So as a Christian, you can be around other Christians, but you can be in this condition, even as a believer. Okay? Because your root system have stopped taking in all that you need to live in his amazing abundance. And Jesus actually said, I've spoken these words to you that your joy will be full. Not partial, not occasional, but full. I mean, so tanked up on joy. You're tanked up. Now, this isn't tanked up, this tree. It's actually dry. It's and the byproduct as a Christian is you'll be weak, unstable, here, there, up, down, all over the place, insecure. Doesn't God's love in us, he's placed his love in us to make us secure as people. When people change, God's love never changes. And he wants us to be secure and stable in his continuous unchanging love for us. This person is continuously unhappy because they're joyless. They are withered by their circumstances. And their emotional life, their mental life, their spiritual life is producing nothing good. And they end up being fruitful because you can't be a tree that's unhealthy and bear fruit. The abundant life isn't seen by just fruit dropping from heaven on that tree. Think of fruit, apples. The farmer goes out and says, I wonder if the apples will drop on the tree today so I can pick them. That's not how fruit grows. Fruit grows from the roots, drawing up the nourishment, and it grows into maturity. Doesn't it? It's that way round, from the inside out, rather from the outside in. And so the abundant life is supposed to be producing such nourishment and flourishing in our lives. And this morning I want to speak on a subject that might seem a little bit strange for us as a church to listen to. I want to speak on depression. That you as a disciple know how you can help yourself out of it, so that you can make disciples who are helped out of it. Okay? So you can help yourself and help other people how to be free from depression and anxiety, stress. Now, so that tree is like a depressed person living like that. And it's never God's intention. If Christ lives in you, you have supernatural power to live a different emotional life. No matter what has happened. There's a famous song written by a man whose family, all except his wife, four daughters, Horatio someone, forgive my, I just remember Horatio because I think it's a very interesting name, Horatio. It was years, a century or so ago, and his daughters went down in a shipwreck, and he lost all four of his children. They were aged from 11 till 2, and his wife sent a telegram and said saved alone. She was the only one who survived. And he decided to go out to his wife, get a boat out to be with his wife. And on the journey, he wrote a song called It Is Well With My Soul. So whilst, naturally speaking, he should have looked like that, he sang, no matter what, it is well with my soul, because I'm able to draw from resources that are so different. His joy and his love, his comfort is my healing. I can receive, and we need to learn how to receive in good times, but also in the times where we will all face. There won't be one of us that won't face loss. Because we're all one day going to leave this tent, and the people you know and love will leave and go and either be with the Lord or into eternal hell. And so we live in this body knowing that there will be times where we will really need to know it is well with my soul. It is well, no matter whether this happens or that happens. You can find a place in Jesus where you are enriched in every way. It doesn't mean we don't grieve, but the comfort of our Savior and His presence helps us through that grief to wholeness and health. How to win over depression? How to win over depression? The fastest growth in our time for depression is amongst teenagers. If you're a teenager here today, Jesus wants to teach you how to win over negative, down emotions so that you can live so full of joy, happiness, that other people say, what are you on? But it will also mean for every adult in this room, and even we can teach our children how to win it. If it's the fastest growth known at the moment for teenagers, don't we need to reach them and help them? It's massive. The NHS is struggling to cope with providing drugs that suppress emotions, but don't heal them. So drugs can suppress, and I'm not against drugs, but I know that they only suppress a problem. They don't get rid of it. And so we, as God's people, when others would be depressed, we can learn how not to be. Where maybe our personalities were used to be slightly down, we can learn how to be so up in Christ that people are amazed at our joy levels. It's time for the church. It's time for us, isn't it, followers of Jesus, to show the life, but to experience it personally first. The tree has to experience it before the fruit comes. So let's be experiential. Jesus said, you will know the truth. Experience it. It will set you free. Amen. Let it be, Lord, today as we hear your way in and through this. There are stress disorders, there are anxiety, panic attacks. People are not coping with things. It's like they coped so far, but then it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. A very little thing, because the stress has built up over time, ongoing, undealt with stress. The straw, the light thing, the one thing, the extra thing, bang. Somebody's knocked out. And we need to not live with that ongoing stress and pressure. We must learn how to live the abundant life of Christ. Amen. I want to train you and teach you today. May the Lord minister to you so that you can minister this to others. People's hearts are failing through fear. They're afraid of the times. We live in times which are really serious politically. If you've got any nounce about you, what's going on in our world today is like wowzers. It wouldn't take much for somebody to push a button that would be so destructive. And we are not to live in fear. We're to live by faith, aren't we? People are thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to work this out? How is this going to work? What am I going to do with my life? I've got no idea a way forward. Usually, people who are down and depressed can't see a way out. It looks like a tunnel that has no end. But Jesus wants to bring light into that tunnel and lead us out of that awful place. Some people face low-grade depression continuously. So in other words, their emotions are always down. Not terrible, but it's just low-grade. Don't live with it. Let Jesus cause you to win. There's chronic depression. There's bipolar, where you've got the ups and the downs and all over the place. Some days you're really high, some days you're just sitting crying, not knowing a way forward. So what are the characteristics? Well, often people can't see a way forward, as I've said. They feel hopeless. And you know, when we look at people's lives, you think, why? It doesn't make any sense to you. You can look at them and think, why are you hopeless? You've got this, you've got this. Why do you feel like that? And you have to go back to why they are in that condition in the first place. So sometimes what you're seeing You've got to look beyond it and say, how can we trace this back to the root of the problem so that we can deal with the root and get something different in this person's life? What causes depression? Well, the simplest answer is found in Proverbs. You know, Jesus, because he made us, the medics are just trying to discover what Jesus already made when they look at the human body, science, they're just trying to work it out. But our God actually created us. He knows how we tick. And he knows, in his word, he's given us his word that actually solves depression. When anybody ever says, I'm down, I'm depressed, I know exactly, because I know this scripture, I know exactly how to minister to them. And so will you after this morning. Brilliant. Okay? Let's go to Dr. Jesus. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 12. I pray that you will be greatly helped today to help others. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Here's Dr. Jesus. So Jesus, what causes depression? Question. Answer. Anxiety causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So what causes depression? No, come on, church. Do you know the answer? Anxiety. What causes depression? Anxiety. Fear causes depression. Now, I'm not going to do an exhaustive study on this. I'm going to give you the tools that are right for today. Yeah, that bring you help and can help other people. Anxiety. Now, we all have cares, do we not? Pastor Andrea mentioned one, she lost a bracelet. She was worried about that for a little while until she prayed, and then God gave her a dream, and then she found it exactly where he said. Every day, I can start to worry about something. Might even be you. And what do I have to do? Well, I know what to do. I know because Jesus says, cast all your cares onto me because I care for you. So in other words, if I'm caring for the problem, it's self-care. If I cast it onto him, it's God care. Okay, so simple. God cares or me. I know which one has more power to change it. So I shift it. As soon as it shifts in, I shift it out. But I know exactly where to put it. I don't ignore it. I don't do the ostrich. I don't bury it. I don't think it'll go away, it'll go away, it'll go away. Oh, Lord, make it go away. No, I give it to Jesus, and he cares for me. Brilliant. But this kind of anxiety in the heart is not just a thought that comes or something that goes wrong. It actually begins in your mind, but actually gets deep down into your heart. So it gets into you. So anxiety, when it gets into you, makes you heavy-hearted. It makes you feel down. It makes you feel low. Your emotions begin to be very negative when anxiety gets into your heart. And of course, this means worry, concern, stress, thinking things over and over and over, because that's what worry is. You think of it over and over. You can't get it out of your head. When you wake up at night, you're thinking about it. You're worried about it. When you're driving to work, you're worried about it. When you're eating your meal, you're worried about it. And it's got so into your heart, it causes depression. Okay? That's the cause of most depression. It can be a total demonic heaviness, but a depression of life and your emotional life not being healthy is actually caused by anxiety, stress, worry, concern, carrying things that you were never designed to carry. Which is why Jesus said, I'll give you a helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you and he will live in you. He will help you. But the answer here is also in the same beautiful, wonderful word of God. Don't you love this word? Don't you want it on your fridge? Don't you want to remember this and rehearse it over and over again so that you know that a good word makes, cheers you up. I prefer that. Makes you glad, but cheers you up. A good word brightens you. A good word is emotionally lifting. A bad word is emotionally downing. I know which one I want to live with. A good word makes it glad. So isn't that easy? To heal yourself? To take the medicine? All we have to take. You know, when we go to the doctor, this is my condition, doctor. And he writes out a prescription. He says, you need to go to the pharmacy and pick this up. They'll make it up for you. But it's a course. Have you ever heard a doctor say it's a course? It won't work once. For example, antibiotics, it won't work once. You need to start the course and take it regularly. Gives you specified time when to take it. And by the end of it, that infection will have gone. And so the medicine that Jesus says, the good word, I believe he's thinking much more of a course so that it becomes a pattern of thinking and actually enters like seed into the soil of your heart that will produce the fruit of joy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, peace, hope for the future. Hope, say hope for the future. God has a hope in your future. Your future is full of hope. A hope-filled future will make you a joy-filled person if that good word has really taken root in the same way a bad word can. Dr. Jesus strikes again. Yes, he does. I believe the word of God. And I believe the word of God works for everyone. It's the medicine of all medicines, no bad side effects. You see, worrying is detrimental if it goes on. Okay? It's detrimental. The other day someone said to me, one day of worrying is the equivalent, listen to this, one day of worrying is the equivalent of a week of work. The effect it has on your body. A day's worry is like a whole working week. Imagine working for a whole week. What will you feel like? Tired. Exhausted. Worry exhausts you. It exhausts you. It takes strength out of you. But a good word strengthens you. It brings the power of God into your life to live emotionally different. I believe God's speaking this morning. Amen. There are two things to beat it, right? I want to just say something really straight out. The devil is behind every problem. He started every problem. Man sinned, yes. We're accountable for our sin. But Satan is behind every stress disorder, every panic attack. He speaks things into people's minds. And they hear words, or it's like a thought comes in and you start to think something you never thought of before that could go wrong. Yeah. You ever been sitting there and suddenly you're thinking about something going wrong? Well, that's from Satan. Satan is behind everything to cause mankind to be stressed and afraid. He is called the spirit of fear. One of the identities of Satan is he's a spirit of fear. And he wants to bring you to fear. He wants you to believe bad things. He wants you to think bad things are going to happen. Jesus wants you to believe good things are going to happen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Do you believe it? Do you believe it is the issue? Do you have a good word sown in your heart that counteracts every bad word and that is saying to every situation where bad comes, it tries to come in, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to me. I'm not dying early. Forget it. Long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Okay, I know it. I believe it. Don't you come knocking on my door with that word. It's not going to be happening to me, thank you very much. But you might be sitting there in an unguarded moment and be taking in, oh, I think I might die young like my family. Oh, it's in the family. It's hereditary. Well, when Jesus broke the curse on the cross, he broke the curse of sin and death and sickness. The power of Satan, the power of the curse is broken. And Jesus came to set mankind free from the curse. I am not under a curse. I am blessed. But I know it because I've sown it. I have sown a good word from God. I haven't just listened to somebody preaching. I've made it mine. I don't want to be like that barren tree in this orchard who's looking miserable every day. I want to be like that fruit tree. Bearing fruit for the Father's glory. Showing myself to be a disciple of Jesus. Let's have a look. So two things to beat it. The devil's behind it, but the spirit of fear gets you dwelling on something negative. Satan wants you to dwell on the negs. Dwell on the negatives. Keep thinking about what could go wrong. Keep thinking about your problem. Keep considering what is wrong. Keep thinking about everything that can't happen because you're you. You want to tell your problems. It's not about me. It's about the Son of God who lives in me. And the life I'm living by faith. Amen. 1 Kings. Let's look at this story because honestly, this encourages me. Because this great man of God, Elijah, right, I'm talking to you. This guy is phenomenal, Elijah, one of the prophets. If you read some of the stuff he got into, did for the Lord, it's mega. He was on this mountain with 500 prophets of Baal. And he was saying to them, prove it that your God's real. And he said, you know, that nothing was happening. Prove it that, you know, maybe just, you know, send fire from heaven. Nothing happened. The devil couldn't do it. And this is a very potted version. And he actually made a joke out of it. He said, is he sleeping? Maybe he's relieving himself. No, he's not answering you, is he? And then Elijah says, right, build an altar with some sacrifice, put wood on it. Now pour loads of water on top of that. Throw all the water you can get to hand onto that. Make it as wet as possible. And then he says, God, show that you're God and answer by fire. Fire fell, licked up the water, burnt up everything, and all people said, you're God, he is God. So this is this man. Okay, this is just after this phenomenal victory. And often, when you step forward following Jesus and you step into a new victory in him, the devil will try to push you back. Isn't it interesting? This is after a victory. Very interesting. 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab, verse 1, told Jezebel everything. Now Jezebel, just let me inform you. So I've heard some bloke say this is every woman that's ever walked. That's rubbish. it's speaking of, and you know, we don't go around saying you've got a Jezebel spirit. You haven't. You've got the Holy Spirit if you belong to Jesus, right? Hello? Be conscious of who's in you. But Jezebel is symbolic of Satan. Okay? And this woman was actually being used by Satan. And that can happen. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger. Now, she didn't even go herself. She wasn't even... I mean, I think if he saw her in person, he'd be going, "Aah!" But he did it. He sent a messenger. And this is what the message was. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like that of one of them, like the ones that have been killed. Threat. I'm going to kill you. So, great victory. Message comes. Elijah listens. Elijah thinks about it. Because words that come, you can think about. You can either refuse it or accept it. He must have totally taken that on board. And that bold, confident man of God ran for his life. You couldn't see two different pictures. This guy had won a victory in the nation, and one woman threatening him. He's on the run. It doesn't make sense because it's demonic. Hello? The devil's behind it. And so these threats come. I'm coming after you. Now, Elijah, if he was properly trained in Kingdom Faith Southwest on how to resist these thoughts, would have said, "I've got authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm me." Wouldn't you, disciple of Jesus? "I'm not going to get harmed by you. You can issue every threat you like, but it's not going to hurt me." Or he could have said, because it was Old Testament, "No weapon formed against me is going to win. It's not going to prosper. You're not going to take me out. I'm going to take you out, man. If God is for me, who can be against me?" But he didn't. He accepted those negative threats. And those threats didn't just stay in his mind, it dropped into his heart. And he ran. Let's read the next verse. Elijah was afraid. Even leaders can get this. Hello? We are subject to the same things as Elijah, and yet we don't have to be subject to them. Sorry, that's not the right word, subject. We can have the same experiences, but we don't have to live there. We can react differently. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey, he said, he went into isolation. Doesn't fear make people withdraw? Isn't depression one of the signs of depression? Isolation? Yes. I don't want to go out. Yes. I want to be on my own. I want to be alone. Hello. I don't want to face church and all those happy people. Huh? Because I'm feeling down. Rise up. So So Elijah, he's on the run, he's afraid, he's on his own, and he finds a broom bush. It's not funny, but it's quite comical from where I'm at, because I'm not living it currently. I'm not under a broom bush, I'm here. Sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. How extreme is that? The devil can get you on the run, so afraid, so worried, that you are praying, it would be better I went. I'm exposing the devil this morning. It's better you go. Don't you ever entertain suicide thoughts. It's from the pit of hell. And we need to help other people never get there. Jesus is the way. And he will make a way for you out of that. He prayed. This man of God prayed. Take me now, Lord. I don't want to live anymore. And I would say that this bad word that produced anxiety and fear got him running. Actually, he ran away from the Lord, not to the Lord. Whenever you're afraid, make yourself run to Jesus, not away. The devil wants separation from Jesus, not with Jesus. If you need some faithful brother, sister in Christ to be with, to pray with you, get with them. Say, pray for me. I'm turning to the Lord, I need help. But don't be on the run away. Run to. It had all produced this cycle of depression and then right down. Listen, I believe that this word is for people here today, but I believe it's also to equip you how, if it ever happens to you, you're not going to go that way. And equip you to live differently. And I believe we can help heal and restore people to abundant life and joy God's way. So, fear is real. Worry is real. And please, I don't count myself an expert in science or medical science, but I have understood that when you think on something negative repeatedly, brilliant, when you continue to think on something negatively, it actually creates what they call a pathway in your brain. It's really interesting, like a rut. It makes a root in your brain. And that negative kind of root, that you, because you're continually thinking about it, worrying about something, creates this rut for negative chemicals to flow into your life and body. So chemicals, bad chemicals, are released. Now, we know that watching a movie, I remember watching some of the movies that are really emotional and about disasters like the Holocaust or something like that. And when you watch that, you feel your emotions going, don't you? Because you're thinking about, you're watching, you're experiencing all those things. That actually, there's a release of a different emotional thing happening because you're watching this movie. Before you watched the movie, you were making toast and tea and happy. You watch the movie, and even blokes, usually with a lip going. But your emotional life follows what you're seeing and thinking about. So your emotions follow your thoughts. And if you've created this rut, negative chemicals are rushing in. I want to tell you that a good word, actually, even just without the Holy Spirit, but it's not without the Holy Spirit. We don't do it without the Holy Spirit. But positive emotions come. You feel happy. when you're thinking about good things. I feel really happy if I think about how blessed I am. I start to change because I'm starting to see that Jesus in me is rich. He's made me rich in every... I am rich. I'm not talking money, I'm talking about me. Me, because you can have all the money you like, but you're miserable. But Jesus makes me happy. He always has. Ever since I got saved, I got so happy, you wouldn't believe it. People told me off. And they still look at me like, what's wrong with her? I trust. What's right with her? Jesus is right. Jesus is the way, isn't he? So the problem isn't chemicals. Oh, you've got a chemical imbalance. No, no, no. It might have resulted in a chemical imbalance. It began with the devil speaking something negative to you, you accepting that negativity, being weighed down and depressed. This is good. You okay? A good word makes it glad. So the devil started it, but you can take it on board. You see, we don't just need to pray for you. You need discipleship. Make disciples. Who are disciples? Continuing to do God's word personally. So you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. A prayer isn't going to deal with... You can get set free from the enemy like that. He's easy to deal with. But your mind takes a bit more work. And God doesn't do that bit. Tell somebody next to you, God doesn't do that, you do. So the answer isn't just prayer or rebuking the enemy. It carries as part of it. But the answer is establishing a new pattern of thought that is good, positive, God promises truth thinking. Thinking about all the good things that Jesus has given you. Thinking about all the good promises that are yours in Christ. Now, we do deal with the demonic. We live in a spiritual world. The Holy Spirit lives in you if you're a Christian. That's Jesus lives in you. And greater is he that's in me, or in you, than he that's in the world. Go and say it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Which is why you're not subject to the devil. In James, we're going to finish now with this. How are you doing? Have you learnt Jesus' way to freedom this morning? Amen. You're not going to live dependent on the NHS. You're going to be fresh and flourishing, strong and secure, stable, established in all the good things, like that tree. And you can't help but produce the fruit, and everybody sees they're a Jesus person. Amen. Please do not diminish the new creation with your personality. Just heard the Lord say that. He's saying to his church, please don't diminish the new creation and the Holy Spirit to match your personality. He is the one who wants to be seen. And Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above all his companions. In other words, everybody saw the joy. There was proof, because it was seen everywhere he went. I'm not talking about faking it, I'm talking about living it. Okay, so I'm not talking about if you haven't lived it, that's fine, but I'm showing you how to live it. How to live in abundance. So please don't say it's not my personality to be upbeat. Rubbish. It's your new creation, man. You are a new person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are who you are now in Christ. Oh, happy day. It's a happy day. James 4, verse 7. Now we do need to deal with the enemy. James 4. And it's another little tiny scripture that makes all the difference in life. Do you know the word only works if you do it? You can hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. You can hear it and hear it, but unless you do it, it doesn't work. Only works when you put it into practice. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. And he will run down the road screaming, saying, oh no, I've got to get out of here. Or flee from you. I know which one I can see. Running down the road going, ah-ha! Ah-ha! I can't bother them. They're bothering me. Don't let the devil bother you. You bother him. Amen. So the first thing is to submit to God. Now, I just had this little thought that I believe is from the Holy Spirit. We've nearly finished. Is that okay? Little thought, I believe it's from the Holy Spirit, which is a bit of a shocking thought to bring as part of submit to God. And that is, in, I think it's the book of Chronicles, there's a king called Nebuchadnezzar. I love his name because it's so long. Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was kind of your world leader of the day. His kingdom dominated so many cultures, so many places. He was taking over the world, a bit like Rome did in his time. That was what he was like. And he was wealthy and he was rich and he was very proud. And Daniel, actually it's in the book of Daniel, sorry. Daniel was asked to speak to this man. Daniel ministered to this leader in all humility, but he brought the word of the Lord with humility, and he actually said, my king, please repent of your pride and sin. You see, Nebuchadnezzar was really proud. He was so self-dependent. He thought he was the bee's knees. He was walking around here, I own everything. I've got everything. It's all mine. Swaggering. Anything I want, I can have. And God spoke and said, unless you humble yourself and repent and change and say that heaven rules, you're going to be like an animal that's eating grass with long talons like a bird, and your hair is going to grow. And for me, that speaks of mad. You know, when somebody's gone so taught mentally, has got a real mental illness. I thought, that's really interesting, Lord. What a thought I had whilst I was praying this morning about Nebuchadnezzar. And how submit to God must mean that you acknowledge that heaven rules over your life and that you are bowing to him as your king, doing what he wants you to do in the place he wants you to be in. So submit to God means you can live in a sound mind continually if you acknowledge heaven rules you. God rules your life. And it's real. It's not about having a little bit of sin here, a little bit of compromise here. It's saying, no, Lord, I'm coming under. Because I know if I come under your authority, I know that I will have authority over the devil. So submission in its truest state is a bowing before God, saying, your will be done. Your kingdom come in and through my life. Not my plans, not my ways. And you know, the minute Nebuchadnezzar did this, from being like an animal, looking like a madman, sanity, he was restored. And not only was he restored mentally, he cut his nails, he began to be able to live with people again. Because wherever the devil is dominating people, he moves them into isolation. He began to live back in society, and he was restored everything that he lost. So he became leader, but he was now a leader who acknowledges heaven rules. Amazing, isn't it? And there in the Old Testament, you see a picture of really what it means to be mentally well. To not have mental illness. Submit to God. Come on, there's a key in here. You don't want to be mentally ill, do you? You don't want to be like an animal shut away somewhere. Submit to God. And then, because Christ lives in you, resist the devil. You have authority in submission to God. Resist the devil. Offer resistance to that spirit of fear, to the thing that is trying to get you to think negatively. Think there is a force behind, a spirit behind those negative words. Think spiritually, church. Think spiritually. And resist. You know, in the World War, the French resistance, they offered resistance to the Nazis, didn't they? Church, we've got to offer resistance. So in other words, stand against and say, you must flee. I'm telling you not to come knocking on the door in my house. You are not coming in. You can't even post a letter through my letterbox. I am not having a bad word come in my house. Get rid of everything that concerns you. And I mean it. Jesus means it, because abundant life is his goal. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. There are no exceptions. Healing God's way, good or God's mental and emotional health. A good word. If you don't know your Bible, we or somebody here will help you find a good word that actually fits your condition, your situation, what you're fighting with. But it's time to grow up, disciples, and be filled with so many good words, there's no room for a bad. I'm talking to disciples of Jesus. Followers who are to live the abundant of life, showing ourselves to be proof. Proof. In every condition that comes, we have a resource in God that is greater than every condition. Our God has won the victory for us so that we can live in his victory. Emotionally stable. Oh, please, Lord, help us. Not having highs and lows, not ups and downs. One of the blessings in my life is emotional stability. I'm so blessed. And this blessing is for every disciple, no matter what your circumstances. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. Get a good word. And get it established so strong in you that you will be filled with all joy and peace in believing. And you will abound in hope. So whenever you're worried, you won't worry. You will abound in hope. A future expectation of good. Do you know he's got plans, real plans, to prosper you? Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, what causes depression? Students of the Word. Hello. Did you hear? Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it cheery. Cheer up. Cheer up. Can I have the final scripture? We're going to say and believe a personalized version of Jeremiah 17, that tree. Are you ready for this? Let me just read it. I am blessed. because I trust in the Lord. My confidence is in Him. I'm like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. I will not fear when He comes. I will always flourish. Say it again. I will have no worries in a year of drought. And I will never fail. I will never fail. I will never fail. I will never fail to bear fruit. I will never fail to bear the fruit of the abundant life that Jesus has given me. See the outcome of trusting Him and His good word.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.